Good Friday Service, April 6, 2012, copyright 2012, Ananda Church of Self-Realization, Palo Alto.
Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, Friend, Beloved God, Jesus Christ, Babaji Krishna, Lahiri Mahashaya, Swami Sri Yukteswar, Beloved Guru, Paramhansa Yogananda, Saints of all religions, humbly we bow to you all, to the transforming power of the life of Christ, that we may have his courage, his dedication, his calm acceptance to receive from God in a Holy Spirit whatever he asks of us. We are your very own. Awaken us. Om peace. Amen.
Palm Sunday, the multitude gathered in joy, strewed palm fronds before him at Jerusalem's gate. How few in that music could detect the sad note of approaching disaster by human destiny wrote.
Who dreamed of the tragedy soon to befall? Who dreamed that the Savior would perish through hate? Come Sunday, the multitude did gather in joy, strewing palm fronds before him at Jerusalem's gate. How few in that music could detect the sad note of approaching disaster by human destiny wrote.
Lord, when in darkness, Lord, in confusion, always I'll follow thee. Lord, when in darkness, Lord, in confusion, always I'll follow thee. If I grieve or lose my way, only thou canst comfort me. If I grieve or lose my way, only thou canst comfort me. All I live for is to love thee, my eternal friend. All I live for is to love thee, my eternal friend. Lord, when in darkness, Lord, in confusion, always I'll follow thee. Lord, when in darkness, Lord, in confusion, always I'll follow thee. If I grieve or lose my way, only thou canst comfort me. If I grieve or lose my way, only thou canst comfort me. All I live for is to love thee, my eternal friend. All I live for is to love thee, my eternal friend. Lord, when in darkness, Lord, in confusion, always I'll follow thee. Lord, when in darkness, Lord, in confusion, always I'll follow thee. If I grieve or lose my way, only thou canst comfort me. If I grieve or lose my way, only thou canst comfort me. All I live for is to love thee, my eternal friend. All I live for is to love thee, my eternal friend. All I live for is to love thee, my eternal friend. All I live for is to love thee, my eternal friend, my eternal friend, my eternal friend.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus left with his disciples and crossed the Kidron Valley. There was a garden there, and he went into it with his disciples. Judas, the traitor, knew the place well, since Jesus had often met his disciples there. Judas brought the cohort to this place, together with a detachment of guards sent by the chief priests and Pharisees, all with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Knowing everything that was going to happen to him, Jesus then came forward and said, "Who are you looking for?" They answered, "Jesus, the Nazarene." "I am he." Now Judas the traitor was standing among them. When Jesus said, "I am he," they moved back and fell to the ground. He asked them a second time, "Who are you looking for?" They said, "Jesus, the Nazarene." "I have told you that I am he," replied Jesus. "If I am the one you are looking for, let these others go." This was to fulfill the words he had spoken, "Not one of those you gave me have I lost." Simon Peter, who carried a sword, drew it and wounded the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword back in its scabbard. Am I not to drink the cup that the Father has given me?"
The sorrow of Jesus was not for himself. He grieved for God's love, which eternally given is burned by God's children, lost in forest of pride.
Pass from me, let my heart not know so much pain. Must the love thou bear'st thy children ever suffer such disdain? Would that I might reveal thy greatness, nevertheless thy will be done. Lord, let this cup pass from me. Let my heart not know so much pain. Must the love thou bear'st thy children ever suffer such disdain? would that I might reveal thy greatness. Nevertheless, thy will be
my Lord, I will be thine always. My Lord, I will be thine always. I may go far, farther than the stars. I may go far, farther than the stars. But I will be thine always. My Lord, I will be thine always. Devotees may come, devotees may go. Devotees may come, devotees may go. But I will be thine always. My Lord, I will be thine always. When I die, look into mine eyes. When I die, look into mine eyes. They will mutely say, I will be thine always. My Lord, I will be thine always. I may go far, farther than the stars. I may go far, farther than the stars. But I will be thine always. My Lord, I will be thine always. Devotees may come, devotees may go. Devotees may come, devotees may go. But I will be thine always. My Lord, I will be thine always. When I die, look into mine eyes. When I die, look into mine eyes. They will mutely say, I will be thine always. My Lord, I will be thine always. I may go far, farther than the stars. I may go far, farther than the stars, but I will be thine always. My Lord, I will be thine always. Devotees may come, devotees may go. Devotees may come, devotees may go. But I will be thine always. My Lord, I will be thine always. When I die, look into mine eyes. When I die, look into mine eyes. They will mutely say, I will be thine always. My Lord, I will be thine always. My Lord, I will be thine always. My Lord, I will be thine always.
The cohort and its captain and the guard seized Jesus and bound him. They took him first to Annas, because Annas was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had suggested, "It is better for one man to die for the people." Simon Peter, with another disciple, followed Jesus. This disciple, who was known to the high priest, went with Jesus into the high priest's palace, but Peter stayed outside the door. So the other disciple, the one known to the high priest, went out, spoke to the woman who was keeping the door, and brought Peter in. The maid on duty at the door said to Peter, "Aren't you another of that man's disciples?" He answered, "I am not." The high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. Jesus answered, "I have spoken openly for all the world to hear. I have always taught in the synagogue and in the temple where all meet together. I have said nothing in secret. But why ask me? Ask my hearers what I taught. They know what I said." At these words, one of the guards standing by gave Jesus a slap in the face, saying, "Is that the way to answer the high priest?" Jesus replied, "If there is something wrong in what I said, point it out. But if there is no offense in it, why do you strike me?" Then Anna sent him, still bound, to Caiaphas, the high priest. As Simon Peter stood there warming himself, someone said to him, "Aren't you another of his disciples?" He denied it, saying, "I am not." One of the high priest's servants, a relation of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, said, "Didn't I see you at the garden with him?" Again, Peter denied it, and at once a cock crew.
In the valley of sorrow, 1,000 years or till tomorrow. In the valley of sorrow, 1,000 years or till tomorrow. But I'll wait to see you, 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 just you. My Lord, I want to see only you, 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 just you. My heart's aflame, my soul's afire. My heart's aflame, my soul's afire. Just for you, 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 just you. My Lord, I want to see only you, 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 just you. In the valley of sorrow, 1,000 years or till tomorrow. In the valley of sorrow, 1,000 years or till tomorrow. But I'll wait to see you, 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 just you. My Lord, I want to see only you, 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 just you. My heart's aflame, my soul's afire. My heart's aflame, my soul's afire. Just for you, 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 just you. My Lord, I want to see only you, 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 just you. In the valley of sorrow, 1,000 years or till tomorrow. In the valley of sorrow, 1,000 years or till tomorrow. But I'll wait to see you, 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 just you. My Lord, I want to see only you, 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 just you. My heart's aflame, my soul's afire. My heart's aflame, my soul's afire. Just for you, 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 just you. My Lord, I want to see only you, 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 just you. In the valley of sorrow, 1,000 years or till tomorrow.
in the valley of sorrow, 1,000 years or till tomorrow. But I'll wait to see you, 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 just you. My Lord, I want to see only you, 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 just you. My heart's aflame, my soul's afire. My heart's aflame, my soul's afire. Just for you, 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 just you. My Lord, I want to see only you, 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 just you. My Lord, I want to see only you, 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 just you.
They then led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the praetorium. It was now morning. They did not go into the praetorium themselves, or they would be defiled and unable to eat the Passover. So Pilate came outside to them and said, "What charge do you bring against this man?" They replied, "If he were not a criminal, we should not be handing him over to you." Pilate said, "Take him yourselves and try him by your own law." They answered, "We are not allowed to put a man to death." This was to fulfill Jesus' word spoken, what words Jesus had spoken, indicating the way he was going to die. So Pilate went back into the praetorium and called Jesus to him. "Are you king of the Jews?" he asked. Jesus replied, "Do you ask this of your own accord, or have others spoken to you about me?" Pilate answered, "It is not your own people and the chief priests who have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus replied, "Mine is not a kingdom of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my men would have fought to prevent my being surrendered to the guards. But my kingdom is not of this kind." "So you are king then," said Pilate. "It is you who say it," answered Jesus. "Yes, I am a king. I was born for this. I came into the world for this, to bear witness to the truth. And everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." "Truth," said Pilate, "what is that?" And with that he went out again to the crowd and said, "I find no case against him, but according to a custom of yours, I shall release one prisoner at the Passover. Would you like me then to release the king of the Jews?" At this they shouted, "Not this man," they said, "but Barabbas." Barabbas was a brigand.
I have made thee pole star of my life. I have made thee pole star of my life. Though my sea is dark and my stars are gone, though my sea is dark and my stars are gone, still I see the path through thy mercy. Still I see the path through thy mercy. I have made thee pole star of my life. I have made thee pole star of my life. Though my sea is dark and my stars are gone, though my sea is dark and my stars are gone, still I see the path through thy mercy. Still I see the path through thy mercy. I have made thee pole star of my life. I have made thee pole star of my life. Though my sea is dark and my stars are gone, though my sea is dark and my stars are gone, still I see the path through thy mercy. Still I see the path through thy mercy. I have made thee pole star of my life. I have made thee pole star of my life. Though my sea is dark and my stars are gone, though my sea is dark and my stars are gone, still I see the path through thy mercy. Still I see the path through thy mercy. I have made thee pole star of my life. I have made thee pole star of my life.
Pilate then had Jesus taken away and scourged. And after this, the soldiers twisted some thorns into a crown and put it on his head, and dressed him in a purple robe. They kept coming up to him and saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they slapped him in the face. Pilate came outside again and said to them, "Look, I am going to bring him out to you, to let you see that I find no case." Jesus then came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said, "Here is the man." When they saw him, the chief priests and the guards shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said, "Take him yourself and crucify him. I can find no case against him." "We have a law," they replied, "and according to that law he ought to die, because he has claimed to be the Son of God." When Pilate heard them say this, his fears increased. Re-entering the praetorium, he said to Jesus, "Where do you come from?" But Jesus made no answer. Pilate then said to him, "Are you refusing to speak to me? Surely you know I have the power to release you, and I have the power to crucify you." "You would have no power over me," Jesus replied, if it had not been given you from above. That is why the one who handed me over to you has the greater guilt." From that moment, Pilate was anxious to set him free. But the crowd shouted, "If you set him free, you are no friend of Caesar's. Anyone who makes himself king is defying Caesar." Hearing these words, Pilate had Jesus brought out and seated him on the chair of judgment. It was Passover preparation day, about the sixth hour. "Here is your king," said Pilate to the crowd. Take him away," they said. "Crucify him." "Do you want me to crucify your king?" said Pilate. The chief priests answered, "We have no king except Caesar." So in the end, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified.
Nothing of man endures, wonder or scorn, birth, life, and death are one, veils of thy love. Thy will, thy will alone. All that I've done is thine, all that I've done.
They then took charge of Jesus, and carrying his own cross, he went out of the city to the place called Golgotha, where they crucified him with two others, one on either side with Jesus in the middle. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Pilate wrote out a notice and had it fixed to the cross. It ran, "Jesus the Nazarene, King of the Jews." The notice was read by many because the place where Jesus was crucified was not far from the city, and the writing was in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. So the chief priest said to Pilate, "You should not write 'King of the Jews,' but that 'This man said, I am King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had finished crucifying Jesus, they took his clothing and divided it into four shares, one for each soldier. His undergarment was seamless, woven in one piece from neck to hem. So they said to one another, "Instead of tearing it, let's throw the dice to decide who is to have it." In this way, the words of Scripture were fulfilled. "They shared out my clothing among them. They cast lots for my clothes." This is exactly what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother and his mother's sister, also the disciple he loved, and Mary of Magdala. Seeing his mother and the disciple standing near her, Jesus said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then to the disciple he said, "Behold your mother." And from that moment the disciple made a place for her in his home. After this, Jesus knew that everything had now been completed. And to fulfill the scripture perfectly, he said, "I thirst." A jar full of vinegar stood there, so putting a sponge soaked in the vinegar on a hyssop stick, they held it up to his mouth. After Jesus had taken the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Let's take a few moments of meditation. O Christ, thou great lover of all error-torn brothers, an unseen monument of the mightiest miracle of love was established in every heart when the magic of thy voice uttered, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." Thou hast healed the cataract of hatred. We have now grown to see thy truth. Love thine enemies as thyself, for they are thy brothers, though sick and sleeping. O shepherd of souls, wandering hearts are seeking of themselves the one fold of divine devotion. We have heard the ever-calling music of thy infinite kindness. Our one desire is to find our home in thee, to retrieve the cosmic Father with the joyous open eyes of wisdom, and to know that all of us are sons of our own one God. Teach us to conquer the Satan of dividing selfishness, which prevents the gathering of all our brother souls into the one fold of spirit. Calling to one another by the watchword, love him who loves you, and love all who love you not. Let us rally beneath the canopy of the universal oneness of the Christ. Om, peace. Amen.
O life is sweet, and death a dream. O life is sweet, and death a dream. When thy song flows through me, my Lord, when thy song flows through me, then joy is sweet, sorrow a dream. Then joy is sweet, sorrow a dream. When thy song flows through me, my Lord, when thy song flows through me, then health is sweet, sickness a dream. Then health is sweet, sickness a dream. When thy song flows through me, my Lord, when thy song flows through me, then praise is sweet, and blame a dream. Then praise is sweet, and blame a dream. When thy song flows through me, my Lord, when thy song flows through me, O life is sweet, and death a dream. O life is sweet, and death a dream. When thy song flows through me, my Lord, when thy song flows through me, then joy is sweet, sorrow a dream. Then joy is sweet, sorrow a dream. When thy song flows through me, my Lord, when thy song flows through me, then health is sweet, sickness a dream. Then health is sweet, sickness a dream. When thy song flows through me, my Lord, when thy song flows through me. Then praise is sweet, and blame a dream. Then praise is sweet, and blame a dream. When thy song flows through me, my Lord, when thy song flows through me, when thy song flows through me, my Lord, when thy song flows through me.
One of my dear friends, who's been part of Ananda for a decade or more, always lived a little bit sort of their own life, even in the context of participating from time to time in Ananda. And not everyone finds meditation easy. So this man, even though deeply devoted, spent quite a long time before finally making the decision to take Kriya, to get himself organized enough to meditate enough to want to do it, and to resolve the kind of inner conflicts that people sometimes have about the spiritual path. I remember another friend from 25 or 30 years ago. The woman got to the point where she was about to take Kriya, but she wanted to be married, and she was a single person. She hoped to be married, and she was a single person. She started running the statistics and decided that becoming a Kriyaban would narrow her options even more. And no amount of persuasion, Swami Kriyananda has pointed out, there is no such thing as statistics. There is only individual karma. It's not a matter of what the statistical probabilities are. Your own will surely come to you. And no effort to either attract or prevent that which doesn't belong to you will never reach you one way or another. She never did, as far as I know, either marry or take Kriya, but I'm not sure. But I'm not frankly certain of either of those facts. But this friend finally got himself organized to take Kriya and wrote that, you know, meditation had never been more attractive, whereas before there was no time in the day to meditate, now he was finding that there was morning and night, somehow space that was never there was suddenly there. And then after a few months, a couple of karmic nuclear bombs went off. You know, really big bombs, not little bombs, that just sort of blew a lot of comfortable expectations completely out of the water. Remains to be seen whether it's forever or not. And the natural thought, which I actually hear people say sometime, is that the difficulties were caused by taking Kriya, because now I've stirred up all this karma or whatever it is. Whenever I hear people talk like that, I do the Desdemona on them, which is to try to smother them with a pillow and make them stop doing that. Desdemona was smothered by Othello in Shakespeare's play. And just to try to get that thought out of people's minds. But the suffering that poor devotee was going through was very, very real, so there was no simple answer. And I've reflected on it a great deal because it's exactly pertinent to Easter. It couldn't be a more perfect season to be thinking about these things. And it was interesting as I reflected on it, and I'm telling this story, which, you know, happened to one person, but the experience is so universal, the details don't make any difference. Doesn't matter whose story it is. We all run these same thoughts. And the idea, I realized, was not merely the fear that the difficulty was caused by Kriya, but in a very real sense, the hope that it was caused by Kriya. Because then, all we have to do is stop doing Kriya, and everything gets better again. I mean, you know, the reason follows feeling, and desire and fear are very strong feelings, and they can really confuse clarity of mind. So I had to like stand back and really try to think, well, the probability is that this was in your horoscope when you were born. And if an astrologer who was wise enough could see it, he would see that it was coming. And karmic bombs do not build up in a matter of months. They're sort of being woven into the fabric of your being for a long time. And with all due respect, doing 14 kriyas morning and night for a couple of months is probably not enough to change your destiny. I like to say that it would be, but it probably isn't. But what it really is all about is exactly really what the story is about tonight, which is, why are we devotees? You know, what is this relationship that we have with God? As we progress through the stages of development that are represented by the four castes, the second stage of development is called the Vaishya. And that is represented by the idea of a merchant. Not all merchants are Vaishyas, but the idea of a merchant is very simple. I give you value, you give me something back. And it's very hard, especially at the beginning of our spiritual life, not to think of this as some kind of a bargain. I'm going to give up these things, I'm going to trust you in this way, I'm going to put out this effort, and then consciously or subconsciously we think, and then you're going to give me something. Now, the way to understand our relationship with God is not necessarily to go to realms that we cannot comprehend from our own experience, but in an odd sort of way to bring it just the opposite, to think about what we really do know, our actual experience of love and what works and what doesn't work. Now think about the relationships you may have had or have observed in which it's a bargain. Well, you weren't nice to me yesterday, so I'm going to be mean to you today. That's just the way it goes. You know, you didn't take out the garbage, so I'm not going to fix your dinner. Like that. You spoke meanly to me, I can double it. You insulted me, I can insult you. I was counseling this couple who were struggling in their marriage, and at a certain point in the conversation, he just told me something really horrible that she had said to him. And then, of course, she had to tell me the really horrible thing he said to her, and both were just really God-awful. And it was beginning to escalate again, and I just sort of stepped in and I said, look, I'm the referee here. I declare it even. We're going back to zero now at this point. Because love that's based on weighing and measuring and is always in jeopardy if the bargain is broken anywhere, is that love, really? Or is that just self-interest? Now, think for a minute if God loved us that way. On Saturday night, we had a kriya here. I vow to practice kriya regularly and faithfully as it is taught to me. And then each person walked up and said, I will. Very sacred moment. Now, I know there are people who have practiced kriya every single morning and every night of their lives. I refuse to incriminate myself by saying whether I'm in that group or not. But how many times do we promise to be good in this way, to be good in that way? And promise God, no less. And then, well, you know, not this morning. I'm a little tired. I'm a little mean. I was justified. What if God had such a bargain with us? Once Swamiji was a little annoyed with a certain disciple because he kept promising to meet with Swamiji to learn the techniques as Master wanted him to. And he was always sort of so sincere, so enthusiastic when he was around Master, but when it really came time to follow up with Swamiji, he never did. And so Swami was just a little miffed with him. And the man came to visit Master, and Master invited Swamiji to serve his lunch, as he often did. And Swamiji just remained very aloof from the devotee. And afterwards, Master said, when they were alone, Master says, you were awfully cold with him. And Swamiji said, well, I don't believe in his sincerity. You know, he's all smiles when he's with you, and then he makes appointments with me again and again and never even shows up. Master said, Oh, I wonder how all of you would have gotten along if I treated you so coldly. And Swami felt duly reprimanded, and appropriately so. If God was cold to us merely because we failed to live up to our side of the bargain, just imagine where we would be. What I have observed in people's lives, and I say this with deep sincerity, and please listen to me, it's perhaps one of the most important aspects of the path that I know. When things go wrong, cling ever more fiercely to God. Don't ever imagine, even for a moment, that you will find comfort by turning your back. Don't make it a bargain. Oh, I've done all my kriyas, life isn't better. Now I will go, excuse me, where? And what do you think you will find when you get there? You know, our only hope is to cling to God in such a moment, as Peter answered Jesus at the end of Jesus' life when he was making it very difficult for his disciples and many were leaving. He said to Peter, will you also leave me? You know, Peter had this interesting karma with Jesus. Will you also leave me? Peter answered words that you should emblazon on your heart. Lord, where would I go? Swamiji said once that one of the things that determines whether you succeed on the spiritual path is whether you recognize that sticking to the spiritual path with every ounce of energy we can muster, no matter how feeble or astounding that energy is a matter of life or death. It's not a matter of convenience. It's not a matter of, well, it would be nice. It's a matter of life or death. And the death that we experience is suffering without any understanding of why or any hope of redemption, because what can lift us beyond it if we have turned our backs on God? And what I have seen through the years is that hard times come to everyone. Dear friends, we have so much karma that we've set in motion that now has to be lived through. We cannot come onto the path because we think somehow this is going to be an easy ride. You know, it will be what it's going to be. Karma has to be played out. But as Swamiji said, once we become devotees, at least we know where we're going. And we understand that bliss is the end of this path and that God is always with us. But I've seen when hard times come, people often take one of two rather polarized positions. They either cling ever more fiercely to Sangha, to the company of devotees, to the practices, to the friendships, to the community, or they try to withdraw into themselves, think they can run it by themselves, and just go off and hide in a hole. I've never seen the latter work. I mean, one most astonishing incident that I witnessed was so strange. One person behaved very, very, very badly and suffered enormous public humiliation from extremely wrong actions. And another person was the victim of those wrong actions. So one was guilty, in a sense, and one was innocent. The innocent person decided to solve the problem by getting really tight within themselves. And instead of walking through the horror of it hand in hand with Guru Bhais, they got smaller and smaller and more withdrawn and eventually simply faded away from the spiritual family. The other, whose path you think would have been much more difficult, decided, I've never been in so much trouble. I've never needed God and my friends more. And that person has thrived. You know, God sends us these tests to see how much we love, how much we trust, how much faith we have, and whether or not we're just in it for the good times. You know, when you marry someone, better or worse, life or death, you know, sickness or health, all of those promises, and that's just one incarnation. You know, you think it's not the same when you promise the Guru? And now, because we're talking about the most, you know, extraordinary example of loyalty to God in the face of the impossible, we have the story of Jesus. You know, and listening to the words from the Bible that David was reading, you know, illustrated by the sound of that music, Jesus was there, falsely accused, turned on by those who should have been his own people, betrayed even by Peter. And even before Peter's denial of him three times, they're having dinner together, which has become known as the Last Supper, and Jesus is talking about going to a place where they can't go with him. He's referencing the fact that he knows within a few hours he's going to be gone. The disciples don't know that. Peter, who's always was blustering, so anywhere you go, Lord, I'll go with you. I'll die for you. Oh, Jesus says. Oh. And then he says to Peter, before dawn comes, before the rooster crows to signal the rising of the sun, three times you will say that you didn't even know me. And he did. You know, in the fear of the moment, in the fear of the moment, Jesus has been arrested. Oh, there's this drunken mob. There are all these powerful people. Jesus is being tortured, humiliated, taken away from them. None of this was expected. And Peter has snuck in to see what's going on, but nobody knows, you know, how far this persecution is going to go and what's going to happen next. And people say, wait a minute, weren't you with that guy? No. You know, probably the words come out of your mouth before you even think about it. No, I didn't even know him. Just a few hours before, oh, I would die for you, Lord. Anywhere you go, I'll go. Why do you think these stories are in here? Because this is us. You know, these souls live these lives and these stories are preserved so that we will know. Three times that happened. And after the last time, even as Peter was saying for the third time, then there was the sound of the rooster crowing. And the dawn had come. And all of a sudden, Peter realized. Because it doesn't matter how far we fall. Doesn't matter what kind of mistakes we make. God's love for us is not conditional. And Jesus had told him even before, in essence, he forgave him before he sinned. But in that moment, Peter realized, and as the Bible says, he rushed out of the room and wept bitterly. But then he came back. And that's really all that mattered. He came back. And then Jesus himself, we think, well, he was a master, but still, he never wavered. And you hear the courage in what was said to him. You know, he's standing there and the high priest is interrogating him and he answers in such a strong and forceful way that somebody hits him for giving the wrong answer. And Jesus just turns and says, what was wrong with what I said? If you can't really tell me what was wrong, then why are you hitting me? I mean, just imagine it for real. You know, he's been chained. He's helpless. These people can do anything they want with him. The mob is outside. His disciples are gone. And somebody hits him in the face, and he said, you know, give me a good reason or stop hitting me. I mean, this is courage and faith and dedication to the ideal. And absolute fearlessness. And that's why the story lives on and on and on. And then you have the other drama, which is the disciples and how are they dealing with this. And very few of them had the courage to be at the foot of the cross because, you know, Peter didn't even want to be identified with him. You know, their own lives were at stake, they thought. They didn't know. But they hadn't exactly lost faith, but they just didn't know what to do. But after Jesus died, they gathered together in his name. So even though everything seemed to have collapsed around them and all their expectations of just a few days earlier, when they gloriously entered the city of Jerusalem and all the city was cheering and they were the disciples of the acclaimed King of the Jews. I mean, just what a ride. You know, you really find out what you're made of. and they waffled. They ran away when he was arrested. In one of the Gospels, it talks about how when the disciples were running away in the garden after he was arrested, one of the guards grabbed at the garment of one of the disciples, and he slipped out of his garment and ran away naked. You know, nobody stood next to Jesus as Peter claimed he would and said, "Wherever he's going, I go." They ran away. They said they didn't know him. They crept around and were afraid to be seen as supporting him when he was dying. You know, many bad things happened to them. But in the end, they all came back. You know, and in the time of difficulty, they returned and clung to each other and held fast to what they knew to be true. And Jesus appeared in the midst of them. And each one went on to the glory of the Spirit that was destined for them if they simply persevered against all obstacles. You know, the story of Easter is the crucifixion because it leads to the resurrection. And so my dear friend, which I started telling you about just so I can finish that story, after a couple of days, came and said simply, "I've loved God my whole life. I don't know what's going on, but I can't stop now. Where would I go, Lord?" Just ask yourself every time it even crosses your mind that there's an easier path than the path of giving your whole heart, mind, and soul to God. Where would I go? And what would I find there? "I am yours, Lord. What is the first commandment? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength. Your chosen people have always been those of every path, denomination, background, character, strength, or weakness. God chooses those who choose him. Let us wholeheartedly choose him. God bless you." We'll now actually give you a chance to do exactly that. We're going to carry on with our purification ceremony, which many of you have participated in before. If you haven't, it's very simple. There will be light bearers here, sitting in chairs with a kneeling bench in front of us, or a sitting bench if kneeling is difficult. From the foyer or somewhere from the back of the room, you can obtain a piece of paper, small pencil, and write on that paper something you would like to offer to God, something you wish to be free of or to affirm in your life, however you wish to phrase your prayer. Just hold that paper in your hand and come before one of the light bearers and say these words, which are also written at the top of that paper: "I seek purification by the grace of God." What that means is, I seek to be purged of everything that keeps me from choosing God, heart, mind, and soul. Our nature is divine. We are confused by realities that are not our true self. I wish to have those washed away by the power of grace descending. That's what you're asking. And then on behalf of the masters, we answer you back. "Open your heart to me," the master says, "and I will enter and take charge of your life." Ah, what a promise. And then we meditate together and bless you at the heart chakra, because it is here that purification takes place. It's the likes and dislikes of the heart that have to be purged so that we can choose God alone. And after a few minutes of blessing, we affirm your freedom by the grace of our masters. And then you may go to the altar, and there's several burning bowls. Light your piece of paper by a candle. Offer it into the burning bowl. Pay attention a little bit to the flow of traffic so that you can stand aside. You don't have to hurry at the altar, but just allow others access to the candle and the bowls. Take as much time as you like, though. And we'll listen as we do this to Swami Kriyananda in the background chanting Om, 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 the great vibration of spirit. So give us a moment to set up and then we'll begin. Let's close now with a prayer. Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, Friend, Beloved God, Jesus Christ, Babaji Krishna, Lahiri Mahashaya, Swami Sri Yukteswar, Beloved Master, Paramhansa Yogananda, Saints of all religions, humbly we bow to you all. May thy love shine forever on the sanctuary of our devotion, and may we be able to awaken thy love in all hearts. Om. Peace. Amen.